Welcome to the WBFO Press Pass. I'm Mark Scott. It's time for our monthly visit with Buffalo Spree's Elizabeth Licata. Welcome.
Hi, Mark.
The June issue will be unveiled tomorrow at 5:30 at Bambino Bar and Kitchen, and it will feature articles on Common Core and new urbanism. We'll touch on both topics today, beginning with Common Core. Now, we've heard so much of the debate on this, but I did not know until reading Bruce Adams' article that the architects of Common Core are Washington insiders, publishing houses, and the educational testing industry. No one thought to ask educators? Teachers?
Well, you know what it reminds me of, Mark, is when I used to work at an art museum, we culturals were always told, you should run your organization like a business. And I think this, again, is business people stepping into organizations that are really, they are not businesses. And, you know, museums are not businesses. And the things that work for businesses, the kinds of standards that they have, the way that they work, don't always work for schools. And the whole thing, what I hear, to be honest with you, even though I don't know everything there is to know by any means, you know, I too learned things from Bruce's article. The whole thing is scary to me. I mean, to think of being in first grade and sitting there and filling out, you know, bubble tests all day, it's just appalling. I can't imagine it. It doesn't sound anything like when I went to school, and I bet it doesn't sound like when you went to school either.
Yeah. Now, Bruce talked with a professor of education policy at Yeovil College, mm-hmm. Mark Garrison, who's very skeptical of Common Core, and he also touched base with some parents. And what did they tell him?
Well, the parents are very concerned that they're young, like six-year-olds, we're talking about, their lives seem they're running from one test to another, and that's what's happening. And they also are concerned because when they aren't given any kind of feedback about these tests, they really aren't invited to participate in the process. They don't really know what the tests mean, and they really aren't contacted about their child's education. It's just, you know, they're just told they have to take these tests. The tests go somewhere. The parents don't know anything.
Mm-hmm. Now, the title of this article is The Education Counter-Revolution.
Yes.
And the subtitle are the words of Lennon and McCartney.
Yes.
I almost want to sing it, but I won't. You say you want a revolution. Well, you know, we all want to change the world. And by that, you're referring to the growing number of parents who are revolting by opting out of these tests?
Yes, I think that this has been growing for a while. We've been hearing about testing and the emphasis on testing for, I would say, the past 10 years at least. And I have a lot of teacher friends, and I hear about it. And finally, they're beginning to say, well, we should be a part of this process too. You know, we're players. We participate in our child's education, and we don't really understand what's going on here. And so we're going to protest and we're going to take action. And I mean, if there's anything that you should be active about, it's about your child's education.
Is there anyone other than the Education Commissioner John King who supports Common Core? I didn't see any pro-Common Core in the article.
Well, it's mainly about no one is against standards. And tests in of themselves are not a bad thing. I think that what is being mainly protested about is the way that this is being done and the way parents are being kept in the dark and the sort of dictatorial way of we're just being told this is how it's going to be. And I think that that's the problem that a lot of people have is and that's why when John King comes around and talks, he now has to face a lot of angry parents.
Yeah. So with this,
as we know,
with this kind of anger, is there an expectation there will be an overhaul of this system at some point in the next year or two?
Well, yes, because there will be political fallout. And I think that at the state level and the federal level, legislators are realizing that there will be a price to pay if the parents are, you know, if they continue to ignore parents and don't take a harder look at how these kinds of standards, which, again, standards in and of themselves, not a terrible thing, but take a good look at how this is being done and if it couldn't be done better.
Now on to new urbanism. First, a definition is in order. Do you have one?
Well, I think it's a way to make cities, I mean, this is my definition, make cities work better. Try not to have a suburb in a city. Don't cut up your city with big highways that tear neighborhoods apart. Make your city walkable. Have more mass transportation. Make it the city a pleasant place for people to live, work, and play. That's how I define it.
Now, the Congress of New Urbanism is bringing its national conference to Buffalo next month, and the group is headed up by former Milwaukee Mayor John Norquist. Now, I remember interviewing him 20 years ago.
And you know more about him than I do.
Yeah,
I bet.
Many of his ideas at the time seemed like pipe dreams, given Buffalo's culture at the time. But today we have Larkin Square, we have Canal Side, we have the Buffalo Niagara Medical Campus, all wonderful examples of the concepts of new urbanism. So is Buffalo on the right track when it comes to this?
I absolutely do think we are. In fact, I just heard on the radio listening to WBFO, I heard the clip from Dottie Gallagher-Cohen talking about how there's these small developers who there's a new demand for apartments downtown, and then they can't keep it filled. And that alone tells you that people want to live within the city limits of Buffalo. They think it's an exciting place. Well, people didn't always think that living in downtown Buffalo would be so exciting. I'm sure that you can remember a time when that was not the case. And now it is. And I just think it's just small things. I think thinking smaller, discarding, you know, the old ideas of urban renewal, of putting big monolithic buildings and big highways, moving away from that and working with the fabric that you have. And we do have this wonderful fabric of historic architecture, both residential and commercial. And I think that this conference is much like the Historic Preservation Conference. It's really shining a very interesting light on Buffalo, and in many ways a positive light on Buffalo, though there are ways in which we have problems.
Well, one of the problems that needs to be worked on, I would say, is transportation. First of all, Metro Rail needs to be expanded, but that begs the question, is it realistic in a time of limited funding at the state and federal levels?
Well, I think that the funding is limited because the state and federal people who control the funding are saying that it's limited. I mean, I actually think there is a will right from the top, right from our president, actually, to increase infrastructure funding so that we can have better mass transportation and we're not depending on cars so much. So I'm just hoping that the political will can be found to make that more of a reality. I think it is very important that we extend, and I think that there are more and more people are thinking it really needs to be done. It is going to be a bit of a lift in terms of finding the funding, but I think the way that these kinds of issues are moving, I think that it is something where people are going to find it.
I'd like to share a personal story here. Cleveland is my second home. My son lives there, and we spend a lot of time mm-hmm. there. And we were there last weekend for Mother's Day, and we had brunch in Shaker Heights, and the rail was going right through the community there. When we went to a Bills game at the stadium a couple of years ago, the train took us right to the stadium site. I never experienced such an easy time getting to a football stadium, certainly not in Orchard Park, where you're stuck in traffic for an hour. Getting into and out of the stadium was so easy that day because of public transportation. So I see a city, many mock sometimes Cleveland, the mistake on the lake, but it in some regards, it's a step ahead of Buffalo in terms of public transportation.
Well, you know, we do have a bus system that is pretty extensive and could be improved. I used to take three buses to the Castellani Art Museum from my home in the Elmwood Village, and it was possible. Could it have been better? Yes. Could it have been more efficient? Yes. But it was there. That structure, that infrastructure is there. And while we're trying to improve our train system, don't forget that we have a bus system, and we can work more on that. And that might be the sort of smaller, better, faster way to do it. That might be the way to do it, that it's not quite as heavy a lift as extending all the trains.
Another issue Buffalo is dealing with are the expressways that cut through parts of the city, the 190, the Kensington, the Skajakwita. So it was so interesting to read in this article about a city like Vancouver, which is thriving, that has no superhighways within its boundaries.
And, it's a shame. And it works. I think you'd be hard-pressed to find people to defend the 33 and the Skajakwita. I don't know too many people that talk about them as really being of great benefit. I think it can work. I don't think we need them. I think that we can change the way that our transportation works by our roads as well.
Mm-hmm. One more thing, the concepts of new urbanism apply to neighborhoods as well. Elmwood Village, a prime example with its mix of restaurants, shops, cultural attractions, and housing. Can this be applied to other communities, other neighborhoods of the city?
Yeah, well, it's already happening. I think that other neighborhoods, take, for example, the Grant Amherst neighborhood. There's other neighborhoods that are beginning to have better amenities and a better mix of services for their residents. And I think it can take place. I mean, there's a lot. There are bigger problems. We have blighting housing throughout the entire city. New urbanism can't fix everything. New urbanism can't fix our economy. But it is a way in that we can make Buffalo as good as it can be, given the limits that we have.
Elizabeth, thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Mark.
Elizabeth Licata is editor of Buffalo Spree. Mark Scott, WBFO News.